Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I know you guys are getting close to Thanksgiving break in Canada. Thanksgiving is October 10th, so it's come and gone, but I know you guys are excited. Wish I could be around to watch the Turkey Bowl this weekend. We live in a day when everyone wants to be happy-go-lucky, or at least present the image that they are happy-go-lucky. The advertisers, they try and present this image of laughter, pleasure, enjoyment, carefree living, no worries, no problems. And sadly, many churches are trying to present the same fake image as well. In fact, drove past one on the way in here this morning. We try and fill our lives, even as believers, with laughter, pleasure, entertainment, enjoyment. But we're missing something. Look down at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, the second blessing. Living in the kingdom of the king, he says, not only do you need to be poor in spirit, he says in verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Five questions today to ask and hopefully answer. First of all, why are the mourners mourning? What are the mourners sad about? Why are they sad? Why are the mourners mourning? He says, blessed, they're favored, they're in an enviable position, they'll be rewarded by God. But why are they mourning? We get sad over lots of things. A family cat that died. Maybe some of you are sad that your family cat has not yet died and you wish it would. Maybe you flunked a test this morning, whether it be Hebrew or general biology, too. I remember I started pre-med. I thought the Lord was calling me into medical missions. And the first general biology 2 test with Dr. Koss. And it was the day after the ski trip. The ski trip had gotten postponed for some reason. And I studied about 20 minutes for our first general biology 2 test. I squeaked out a D- after the scale. And it was an uphill battle the rest of the semester to get a B-. And some of you probably have experienced that with pre-med or some other class. And you're mourning over your bad grades this semester. Maybe you're mourning over a relationship that ended very abruptly. You thought this was the guy. And you found out that not in his mind. Some of you will mourn this weekend after the Ohio State-Michigan game. And my wife's from Michigan, but I imagine there will be some mourning going on in our house this weekend. My mom and dad took me golfing yesterday. Golf season in Calgary ended a long, long time ago, but they took me out to Bonnie Brae yesterday, one of my favorite courses here in town, and I hit some bad shots that I could have had an emotional breakdown over. I should have mourned over some of those shots. On a more serious note, some of you are mourning the loss of a friendship. Some of you are mourning the loss of a family member. But I don't think that's what Christ is talking about in this passage. I don't think that's why the mourners are mourning. What are these mourners mourning about? What kind of sadness is Christ talking about? What are they sad about? And I think it goes back to verse 3, what we looked at yesterday and laid the foundation for today. They're mourning over their spiritual bankruptcy. These are the poor in spirit. And they see how poor in spirit they really are, and they mourn. That's the only natural response to realizing that you are poor in spirit. For the unbeliever, he sees his sin and he sees Christ's righteousness and he mourns before he comes to Christ. For those who have come to Christ, you are living in the kingdom of the King. You mourn because you realize your spiritual need even in Christ, how weak you are in yourself. Maybe you saw the pride of your heart yesterday, and the only natural response, the only godly response to seeing your pride is to mourn. You saw your attempt at living independently of God, and you respond with sorrow. You respond with mourning at how sinful you are. Thanksgiving break's coming up, and the reality is that some of you will do things that you should mourn over. You will watch movies that instead of laughing at, instead of enjoying these TV programs and getting a good laugh out of them, you should be mourning. We all battle spiritual pride. And the only right response to spiritual pride is to mourn. Do you mourn over your need of God's grace and how far short you fall of meeting His expectations for your life? So the unbeliever mourns, the believer mourns. We mourn over the sin we see in ourselves, and we also mourn at the sin we see around us. Remember the passage in 1 Corinthians 5? Where the professing believer at the Corinthian church was living in immorality, probably with a stepmom. And how was the Corinthian church responding? Paul rebukes them because they weren't mourning. They hadn't disciplined. They hadn't kicked the guy out of the church. They weren't sorry about the sin that was in their midst. They weren't mourning. And he rebukes them for their failure to mourn. In your room, in the residence halls here, or in society, someone stands up and says or does something, and you laugh. But instead, you should be mourning. Junior hires and high schoolers, you're in the hall down there at the quadrangle by your locker, and you overhear a conversation. You overhear somebody talking about what they did. Do you mourn or do you laugh? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:21 that he would mourn over those who hadn't repented over their immorality and their sin. What do you do when you see the devastating effects of sin around the world? And we see it in country after country after country. The devastating effects of sin. Do you mock? Do you criticize? Do you view these folks with disdain? I mean, it's easy to criticize your roommate because of their sin and how far short they fall. It's easy to criticize when we see sin in other people, but it's very hard to mourn. So those outside the kingdom must mourn because of their sin. And those who are inside the kingdom, they're living in the kingdom of the King, they still mourn because they know their sinful heart. So what are the mourners mourning about? They're mourning over sin. Not laughing, not joking over sin, not ignoring, not living in apathy. They're mourning. They're sad over their sin. It's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. So why are the mourners mourning? First of all, they're mourning because of their sin. Second question, why are the mourners blessed? Look back down at the text. He says, blessed are those that are constantly mourning. It's a regular practice for them. Blessed are they that mourn because they themselves will be comforted. Only they will be comforted, Christ says. The mourners are blessed because they will be comforted. And who comforts? Well, 2 Corinthians 1:3 calls God the Father the God of all comfort. God the Father comforts the mourners. Christ comforts the mourners. When he picked up the scroll in the synagogue and read there from Isaiah 61, passage there he read says, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Christ comforts. And many of you know the comfort that the Father gives and that Christ gives. And then thirdly, the Spirit comforts. His name, the Paraclete, the Comforter, the one who comes alongside. This is what the Spirit of God does for the mourners. He comforts them. In Acts 9:31, we find that the church was enjoying the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, they're all involved in comforting the mourners. But it's not just God who comforts the mourners. Other believers comfort mourners. The man we talked about in 1 Corinthians 5, when Paul rebukes the church and says, this guy's committing immorality with a stepmom and you guys aren't mourning. You're not putting him out of the church. You're tolerating it. Well, evidently, the fellow did repent. He mourned over his sin. And in 2 Corinthians 2:7, Paul tells the Corinthian church that they were to comfort this guy. Comfort him so he won't have too much sorrow, so he won't be overwhelmed by sorrow. God wants to use you to bring comfort to those who are mourning over their sin. So why are the mourners mourning? Why are the mourners blessed? And then thirdly, when will the mourners be comforted? When will the mourners be comforted? He says, they will be comforted, only they will be comforted. But when will they be comforted? I think of the story in Luke 7, where the sinner of a lady comes to Christ and she washes his feet with her tears, wipes it with her hair, and those standing around watching, those who didn't have poverty of spirit, they were a little bit taken back by this. But Christ tells her, "Your sins are forgiven." Imagine the joy in this lady's heart. She came to Christ that day and got more than maybe she bargained for. So the mourners will be comforted when the sinner comes and hears, "Your sins, which are many, are forgiven." That's where the comfort comes for the unbeliever, for the one who up till this point has not had poverty of spirit and who's outside the kingdom. When they're accepted into the kingdom, their sin and their guilt is forgiven. And when, as a sinning believer, your relationship is restored, then you find comfort. David, Psalm 51:8, after he mourned over his sin finally, after Samuel came and said, "You're the man. You're the one who did it." And he mourns finally over his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and murder of her husband Uriah. And he says there in Psalm 51, his prayer of repentance, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." I want to be comforted. I want to have joy and gladness. And he did. So why are the mourners comforted? The mourners are comforted because their sins are forgiven. And only the sins of the mourner are forgiven. If you don't repent of your sins as an unbeliever, you will never be comforted. In fact, it will be eternal discomfort. Only those who turn from their sins are comforted because their sins are forgiven. And as a believer, you cannot have a close, intimate relationship with God when you don't mourn over sin. If you hold on to your sin, you will not be comforted. There's nobody more miserable in the world than a professing believer who wants to live in sin. That's a miserable way to live. And God says you won't be blessed, you won't be happy, you won't be favored, you won't be rewarded. It won't happen. So the mourners are comforted, and only they are comforted because their sins are forgiven. Forgiveness of sin brings amazing comfort. I mentioned yesterday I struggled some in 9th and 10th grade, especially with sin. And I wasn't trying to be a rebel per se. I mean, I was, but that wasn't what I was thinking. But sin had pleasure, and I struggled some. And I remember, it must have been my 10th grade year, for our Bible class there at the academy. They had Jim Van Gelderen in to preach to all of us for our Bible class. They combined the classes. And he preached a message on hidden sin about Achan. Remember, he took the stuff and hid it. And boy, what a convicting message. I was there as a 10th grader, and I had hidden sin that I was not mourning over. And I made a choice that day not to mourn over my sin. Boy, I was convicted. I knew I wasn't having a good relationship with God, and I did not mourn over my sin. It wasn't till later that summer, I was on a mission trip with our church youth group out in Oregon. It wasn't in a service. It wasn't when I was sitting down reading my Bible. I think we were in the van traveling somewhere, and so there's my friends all around me, and the Lord was just quietly working on my heart. And finally, at the age of 15, I mourned over my sin that was separating me from God as a professing believer. And I can't tell you the relief, the comfort that brings. Folks, it's miserable to try and live as a professing believer but not mourn over sin. To portray this happy-go-lucky image, the smile, the fakery, that's a miserable way to live, and I've lived there. It doesn't work. And so the mourners find comfort because their sins are forgiven. But mourners also find comfort when God changes something or someone you've been mourning and praying about. Maybe you've been mourning over your lost family. Maybe you've been mourning over your lost roommate. Well, God will give you comfort when you see that person come to Him. And ultimately, you will be comforted when Christ returns, sets up His kingdom on earth, and you live in the millennial kingdom and rule and reign under Christ, and there will be everlasting comfort Scripture talks about heaven in Revelation, the end there, chapter 21 or so. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more crying. The former things have passed away. Everything has changed. And so Christ says, mourn now, because one day you'll never mourn again. But if you don't mourn now, you will be mourning eternally. So fourth question. How can I become a mourner? Maybe you're thinking back to our message yesterday and you realize the only way to become a mourner is to be poor in spirit. That's the foundational quality for you as a believer in Christ's kingdom. If you aren't poor in spirit, you'll never mourn. If you don't humble yourself before God and as a believer make that your regular practice, expressing your dependence on Him, humbling yourself before Him, worshiping Him, exalting Him, you'll never mourn. For the proud person, what's there to mourn about? The proud person doesn't think he has anything he needs to mourn about, or she doesn't think she has anything she needs to mourn about. There's no reason to mourn. Everything's okay. My sin's not that big of a deal. Oh God, He would never judge someone for their sin. The proud person doesn't have anything to mourn about. So the way to become a mourner, first of all, is to become poor in spirit. Begin to humble yourself before God. And as you consistently humble yourself before Him, the only natural response is to mourn over sin. Sin is no longer something so trivial or so funny. But secondly, you can become a mourner by developing your love relationship with the Lord. I'd say most of you are probably believers. Why don't we mourn over sin like we should? When we know we've violated God's word, we know we're about to make a choice that displeases Him, why doesn't that grieve our hearts like it should? We experience some conviction of the Holy Spirit there, but why don't we grieve? Why don't we mourn? God, why do I want to do this? Why am I making plans to do this? Or why am I not turning from the sin of my past? What's wrong with me? Well, it's natural in life when you love someone and then you find out that you've hurt them, you grieve over that. If there's a girl that you care very much about and you're trying to win her affection and you're doing nice things for her, you're spending lots of time with her, you're thinking about her all the time. Well, if you say something that you know has injured her or hurt her, then that grieves you. Why does it grieve you? Because you care about her. Those people that we love were grieved when we hurt them. So if I'm not grieved when I realize that I've hurt God, then that probably indicates that I don't have a very close relationship with Him. I don't have a lot of love for Him. So I think the way to become a mourner, in addition to becoming poor in spirit, is to develop your love relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if I love Him, I don't want to hurt Him. Ephesians 4 talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, it's hard to view God this way because I can't see Him, I can't touch Him. You know, when I pray, it's like I'm talking to nobody, and we don't view God as a person. Well, the Scripture says we can grieve Him. We can make Him very, very sad. And when we make people sad that we care about, that grieves our hearts. So we develop a mourning spirit over sin by developing your love relationship with the Lord. I think of Joseph in Genesis 39. Joseph is down there in Egypt, and his family's not around. Potiphar's wife is trying to allure him consistently, day after day after day after day. And I've got to guess that Potiphar's wife was attractive. There is Potiphar, the captain of the guard. He probably had his pick. So I'm sure she was an attractive lady. Joseph could have rationalized it. Who's going to find out? Nobody's going to know. God's already forsaken me, or else I wouldn't be down here in Egypt by myself. My family hates me. And what does he say in Genesis 39? He refuses Potiphar's wife. He says, my master has put everything in my hands except you. You're the only thing in this house that I don't have authority over. So he says, I love my master too much to do this. And then he goes on and he takes it a step further and he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? In other words, I love God too much to hurt Him. And that's why we don't mourn over sin. Because we don't love God, we don't fulfill the first greatest command, and we don't love our neighbors like we should. We don't fulfill the second greatest command. So mourning over sin comes back to fulfilling the two greatest commands. If you'll develop your relationship with Jesus Christ, and if I'll develop my relationship with Jesus Christ, then we will be grieved when we hurt Him. We like to laugh. I like to laugh. I like to have a good time. I enjoy that. If you know me, you know I like to enjoy life. And I'm not talking about that. Proverbs talks about how laughter, how a cheerful spirit can bring healing. And I'm not discounting that, but we've swung the pendulum so far that we just are way over here and all we know how to do is laugh and have a good time. And we've lost an appropriate soberness about the Christian life. Last question. What if I won't mourn? What if I won't mourn? Okay, Pastor Michael, I know what you're saying. I'm hearing you, but I'm contemplating the decision I'm going to make. What if I make the choice I'm not going to mourn over sin? What if I try and hide it? What if I try and ignore it? What if I won't mourn? Well, Christ, understanding that that would be a response that some in the crowd would take, in Luke 6, he says, "Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." He says it's not a question of whether you will mourn. He says it's a question of when will you mourn. You mourn now and experience great comfort later, or you laugh now and mourn later. Those who never mourn over sin are showing they aren't a part of God's kingdom. And that's what's so disconcerting. If you never mourn over sin, if you refuse to mourn over your sin, if you're never grieved over your sin, and it's a sorrow that leads to repentance, to turning from your sin, to confession, then that tells me here, according to what Christ says, that you aren't a part of His kingdom. You aren't even living in the kingdom of the King. Now, for believers, we struggle with this too. We don't mourn over sin like we should. We tend to view it differently than Christ does. But if you never mourn over sin, then you're not a part of the kingdom. Conclusion, I want you to turn over to James chapter 4. I appreciate your good attention this morning. At least it looks like you're paying attention. I can't see too much from here. It's easy in a church of 85 to see everybody. 7,000 is a little different story, but it seems like you're paying attention, so thanks for that. James 4, in verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." I remember when I was in seminary here working for the school, I was at the checkout desk, and there a boy came in, young man. I think he was about a junior, and I could tell that he was sad about something. You could tell that he had been crying. He was having a hard time holding back the tears, even as we spoke, and his dad was there with him, and his dad said, "So-and-so, he's got some stuff he wants to make right." So this guy was mourning. This guy was grieving over his sin, but that day, he got comforted. Only the mourners experience forgiveness of sin. When you find out about your roommate, when you find out about a friend in your society who is wreaking havoc on their life and possibly their eternal soul with sin, How do you respond? I mean, we brag about sin. We brag about what we got away with. We brag about how we can sin and it doesn't seem like God cares. Nothing bad happens to us. Whether it's a so-called big sin or what we would consider a little sin like gossip or slander. Some of you are slandering your roommates and your friends, saying false stuff about them, or maybe you're saying true stuff, but it's gossip. And instead of grieving over the sin, you enjoy it. It's fun. I'm getting back at them. I'm striking back at them. So whether it's gossip or slander or lying or pride, however we do our sin, God says you must mourn over that sin. Because only the mourners find comfort. In Luke 11, Christ told us, blessed, okay, there's our word, favored, in an enviable position, rewarded by God, happy people. The only happy people, he says, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You've heard the word of God about being poor in spirit and mourning. You're only blessed if you hear it and you do it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the promise of your word that you want what's best for our lives. You tell us what we need to do with your Spirit's help. So help those who are outside the kingdom to mourn over their sin. Help those who are inside the kingdom who have a different attitude towards sin than you do right now. Lord, that there would be a widespread soberness, enjoying life, but a widespread sober attitude towards life. Sober attitude towards sin, that there would be grieving over sin in the student body, at the academy, at the junior high, in the seminary. And we know that when that happens, there will be many, many people who find comfort. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.